Good morning. If you can open your Bibles to Mark chapter 10, we're going to be looking at verses 46 through 52. Before we start, I want to confess that this is one of my favorite passages in all the Scripture. I find that in my walk, sometimes where God feels far away, I kind of go here, and it reminds me of who I am apart from Christ, who I am in Christ, and Christ is a marvelous Savior. So why don't we read the reading of God's holy, inerrant, inspired Word, beginning in verse 46 of Mark chapter 10. Now they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, "Be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you." And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "Rabboni, that I might receive my sight." Then Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. I just want to pray over this scripture. Father, we're so blessed to be able to read your word this morning, but we're powerless to understand it without the Holy Spirit. We pray, Father, your Holy Spirit would guide us in your word, lead us in truth, keep us from error. Father, may by your grace, may we put ourselves in the shoes of this blind beggar, so we may fully understand the marvels of your grace. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So as we begin this morning, we see a multitude. Christ in a multitude traveling from Jericho. And it kind of looks like when you read the passage that it just so happens he stumbles across this blind man on the side of the road banging. But what we need to understand is that this is no accident that Bartimaeus is encountered by the Savior. Everything that God does has purpose. Right? All the good works that he done were preordained. So, in this historical setting, Bartimaeus has a divine appointment with Jesus Christ. And as Christ performed miracles, he did them for a number of reasons, but I think the first and foremost reason was to, first of all, express the fact that Jesus Christ isn't just any other miracle worker that's out there. He's not just a prophet or a priest, but he's the Son of God. Christ made some miraculous or remarkable claims during his ministry. He said, "Before Abraham was, I am." He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." And when you make these claims, well, what do you have to back that up? So Christ did these great miracles to show himself that he is different than anyone else that's walked the earth before him. In Psalm 146, we read, "The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises them that are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous." So by him coming here to Bartimaeus and setting up this miracle of opening up the eyes of a blind man, he's really attesting to the fact that he is God. Because no one else can perform such a miracle. What do I endeavor to do this morning, brothers and sisters, as we go through this passage, is not only look at this historical setting as we see it, but also to make an application. Because I think what we have in this passage is a beautiful metaphor or picture of what our salvation is in Jesus Christ. So my message this morning is going to be somewhat gospel-centered. I know we have many professing believers here, but I do believe that when we look at the miracle that's happened when we've become saved, we fully can appreciate and thank God for what we have in our relationship with Christ. And if there's any here this morning that's not sure if you're a Christian, or you know you're not a Christian, the application of what we read here is that you are on a divine appointment with the Savior. Because when the Word of God is read, it is as Jesus Christ is among us. Because verse 14, that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Christ is the Word. So everyone here this morning, like Bartimaeus when he encountered that multitude, we all have a divine appointment with Jesus Christ to hear what he has to say to us. So we find blind Bartimaeus on the side of the road begging. And what I really want us to do right now is just kind of get a feel of what it's like to put our shoes in this. What's it like to be Bartimaeus? This guy was a blind beggar. Now, it's speculated that he was born blind, but we don't know. But it's the speculation he was born blind. Can you imagine what it's like to never see, to not behold the sunrise, to not see nature? Maybe you have an acute sense of smell. You can smell it, but you can't see it. These days were not the days of welfare and social programs. As Bartimaeus grew and got older, how was he going to make a living? Okay, he didn't get a check. He had to go out and beg. How are you going to put food on the table? How is he going to eat? How is he going to clothe himself? He had to go out and beg. He was entirely dependent on the mercy of others to live. So why does he sit on the side of the road? Well, that's where the passerby goes. Perhaps a rich king, a rich governor. People with money will just have mercy on him and throw him a pence or two, if I'm using the right language, I don't know. But giving him a little money. And he's on the side of the road, hoping to encounter some passerbys, hoping to find something to live on. And he does this day after day after day after day. This is his life. Can you imagine what it is to live that kind of life? What's also interesting is the name Bartimaeus, because it actually has a double meaning. In the Greek, it means son of, person of honor. So that's not a bad name. You know, I could walk around with my name, son of, person of honor. It means I come from a good lineage. I have a good father and mom. and I'm coming from a good place. But the word Bartimaeus actually has a root word that in the Aramaic, and I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it, Tama. And what that word means is son or person of defilement or spiritual impurity. So commentators have said that this double meaning here actually is there for a reason. But it's speculated that the name Bartimaeus may not be this individual's real name, but actually a nickname given to him. Because in these times, if you were born blind or deaf or with some sort of impairment, it was considered a curse of God. That you did something or your family did something to bring this curse upon you. So how'd you like to walk around every day being called son of defilement? Son of impurity. With the implication that you've done something to deserve your blindness. The life you live is because you deserve it. That's a tough life. But that's what this man is. He's a blind beggar, entirely dependent to live on the mercy of others to get by, with a name that's an insult. That says not only are you defiled, but probably your family too, because you're the son of defilement. You're the son of impurity. Now we find him begging. And if we're going to make a spiritual application here, how are we like Bartimaeus as human beings? Well, I mean, the hymn, Amazing Grace, we just sang, wasn't by accident. There was that, you know, I was blind, but now I see in that hymn. As members of the human race, and I'm not going to get into the whole doctrine of total depravity, but let's just remember that Ephesians 2:1, you has he made alive who are what? Dead in trespasses and sins. We are born dead in our sins. We are born blind. Right? John 3:3, unless one be born again, he cannot what? See the kingdom of God. Meaning if you're not born again, you are blind to the things of the kingdom of God. You can't see them. You're blind. You're miserable. You're deaf. You're separated from God. Like Bartimaeus, we all sit on the side of the road. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Jesus Christ is the road to God. But we are born where? On the side of that road. We're not on the road to God. We're blind beggars. We're on the side. We don't have access to the Father. We are apart from God, separated from God. And, like Bartimaeus was entirely on the mercy of others to restore him, can we restore ourselves to God? We can't. Because we're dead. A dead person cannot restore themselves to God. We are entirely dependent on the mercy of God to restore us to that way. That's why when we read about Bartimaeus, we're reading about ourselves. Apart from the grace of God, we're blind beggars. We're dead in our sins. And what about our name? The double meaning here, I think, is very apt in the sense that we are created in the image of God. Like Bartimaeus, that name means son of honor, son of dignity. As sons of God, as children of God, as creation of Almighty God, we are supposed to possess dignity and honor. But we don't. We are children of defilement, children of sin, children of death. We read, for example, in Romans 5:12, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We are the son of defilement because we're the sons of Adam. He's our spiritual father, and our legacy is death. That's where we come from. Every one of us. Born, dead, sons of defilement, spiritually impure. And this sin separates us from God so that we can't follow Him on the way, but we're on the wayside, apart from Him, not following Him, unable to understand Him. But the mercy and the glory here is that despite our condition, despite the fact that we are born in this condition spiritually, and even in this case of Bartimaeus, who was a blind beggar on the lowest rung of the societal, ladder, he wasn't beneath salvation now, was he? There's nothing that you or I could do, or that blind beggar could do, that would disqualify us as objects of the mercy of God. Nothing. And that's the glory of this story of Bartimaeus. Despite who we are, apart from God and apart from Christ, we're never beneath God and His mercy, because He came to save us. Now, you know, as far as an application, I mean, we all have to ask ourselves this question. Have we seen ourselves in that light? Have we seen ourselves as blind beggars in light of the Word of God? And it's not a flattering picture, because we want to look at ourselves with some sense of, well, wait a minute, I'm not a blind beggar, I mean, you know, after all. But spiritually, that's who we are. Can we accept that? Does our pride prevent us from accepting who we are apart from Christ? Because if we've seen ourselves in that light, really, that's the beginning of salvation. That means our eyes, actually our blindness, is starting to go away. Because if we can't see ourselves in that light, your blindness remains. Right? Which brings us to the call, because Bartimaeus' miserable existence, the anguish he must have felt every day, we hear the tumult of the passerbys going by in verse 47. And we read that when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. You know, again, we can only imagine the daily anguish of this man. But now he hears Jesus is passing by and he cries out, Son of David, have mercy on me. He understands his condition. Have mercy on me. And what's so significant is he calls Jesus the Son of David. He doesn't say, hey, miracle worker. Hey, this guy I heard is doing miracles. And we read in Scripture, there were some sorcerers in those times that did miracles, you know. And he didn't recognize Jesus as one of these sorcerers or miracle workers or, you know, circus attractions. But he called him Son of David. This is a messianic title. He's recognizing him as the Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One, whom Israel was waiting for. And we can go, you know, through so many passages in the Old Testament. I'll just read to you Jeremiah 23, 5 and 6. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is the name whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. Amen, right? Amen is right. This, the Son of David, this is who he calls out to. The Messiah, the Christ, the Lord our righteousness. Now, you know, there's also passages that talk about that this Messiah would also do healings. And I might get a little warm and fuzzy here. You know, this is all speculation on my part. But Bartimaeus had a mom. Okay? And it must have been real tough to have a blind child. You know? And when that child begins to understand his blindness, you know, what he doesn't have, maybe she held him and said, you know, one day, Messiah will come. One day Messiah will come. You know, it says that Messiah in Isaiah 29, he shall, in that day the deaf shall hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. Messiah will come one day, Bartimaeus. And when he comes, he's going to give sight to the blind. He's going to make the deaf hear. One day. And that's my warm, fuzzy speculation. More than likely, it could have been that Jesus was gaining fame with all the miracles that he did. And he heard that this Christ was performing all kinds of miracles, and he knew he had to get himself in front of this Christ, the Son of David, not the miracle worker, the Son of David, the one that Israel had been waiting for. And we know from many scriptures that the religious Jews of that day were waiting for the Christ. Remember, could this be the Christ? We'll go back and study the scriptures. And then the cry for mercy. He doesn't come to Christ. I was born blind. This is unfair. There's no way I should be living this life. You owe it to me to give me back my sight. Jesus, Son of David, look how my life is. Look how I have to beg every day. Look at the clothes I'm wearing. I can't take a shower. You need to restore me to my sight. No, that's not how he approaches Christ. Have mercy on me. Mercy. What's mercy? Getting what we don't deserve. He sees himself as a blind beggar. He knows he doesn't even deserve his sight. You are the King of Israel. What is man that you are mindful of him? What is there about me that you would even look at me? Have mercy on me. And what's the object of his faith? Christ. That's it. He's not looking anywhere else. He is looking at the Son of David to give him back his sight. Have mercy on me. And of course, the spiritual application here is obvious. As the blind, the spiritually blind, is the spiritually dead, the Son of David is where we get our sight. The Son of David is where we have our hope. The Son of David is where we have our salvation. The Son of David is he who was prophesied, who came, who was crucified, who was rose again, and sits at the right hand of God. He is the one. Have we recognized Christ as the Son of David? Have we seen him and him alone as the object of our faith, of our salvation, of the only solution to our spiritual deadness and blindness, as the only one that can restore us unto God, Jesus Christ, the Son of David, have we seen Him in that light? By the grace of God. Because that is a work of grace. No one gets there on their own. It is a work of grace. Have we been there? Have we cried for Christ as a blind man would cry for his sight? Fully understanding and feeling the anguish of our sin and our separation from God. Have we? There is one way to God, and that's the Son. One way. Not many ways. Not a few ways. One way to God. One cure to the blindness. And have we cried out for mercy, getting what we don't deserve? We don't deserve salvation, brothers and sisters. There's nothing about you or I that deserves to be saved by the creator of the universe. We don't come with pretensions. Oh, Lord, you have to save me because... No. We throw ourselves at the feet of God and pray for His mercy. As we move on, Bartimaeus starts crying out. And many warn him to be quiet. And I find that very curious. And we see that here in verse 48. Many warned him to be quiet. And I'm trying to figure out why. You know? And again, I speculate because the Bible doesn't give us a picture. But, you know, my first job out of college, I used to work in Manhattan and get out of Grand Central. And for those of you that have been in the city, you know, there's a lot of homeless. And it's sad. You know, it really is sad. And, you know, we pray that the Lord would take care of their needs. But very often they were people that would hand with their cups. And it's a pitiful sight. You know, and sometimes they'd be screaming out for things. It would be very uncomfortable. You didn't know if you should be scared. You should help the person. And I sometimes wonder if, you know, maybe Bartimaeus is kind of like that. You know, kind of had that look about him. And as he's crying out more and more, it could have been a, hey, Bartimaeus, quiet down. This is embarrassing. You know, quiet down, Bartimaeus. But what does he do? He cries out louder. Why? Because there's only one way he's going to get his sight back. Jesus. No one is going to tell him to be quiet. No one is going to stand in his way. No way. He had such conviction, such devotion, such focus on Christ to be the healer of his blindness that no one was going to tell him to be quiet and stand in his way. Now, when we look at, you know, a spiritual application, you know, think back to maybe when you were called to Christ. You know, John 6:44, no man can come to me unless the Father who sent me draw him. And when that drawing happens, you know, if we're pretty, there's nothing that's going to stop us. Okay? And maybe you found in your life that initially when you start finding Christ, everyone's like, oh, that's great, you know, it's good to find religion. Everybody needs religion, that's good. But when we really start crying for Christ as the Savior, Messiah, Son of David, the only way to God, then there might be a little opposition. Whoa, wait a minute. Yo, quiet down. Quiet down a little bit. And that can come in many ways and many forms. You know, the world will tell us, hey, quiet down. You know, Christianity is a very intolerant religion. You can't be a Christian. Now, what about all those other religions out there? You know, Jesus was a good person. He was a good teacher. But, you know, let's not go overboard. Quiet down. The flesh. You know, I got some sins that I really like. I don't want to give those up. I mean, I know I'm being called and everything, but, you know, I kind of like the way I'm living. I like the things I'm doing. I'm not ready to give that up just yet. Quiet down, the flesh says. And let's not forget the devil. You can't believe all that stuff in the Bible. Right? What did Christ do? He twisted, or the devil twisted Scripture, Genesis 3. He'll not surely die. You don't have to believe the whole Bible. Take it easy. You know, when we read the parable of the sower goes out to sow. Remember what happens in that first instance? The seed falls by the wayside, and what happens? Satan comes and plucks it out of the heart. That's what the devil wants to do. Wants to oppose you. But if we've been truly called by the grace of God, effectual calling, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And he who comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. Nothing can stand between us and Christ when we're called. Not the world. Thank you. Not the flesh. And not the devil. Because grace conquers all. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Not might, or hopefully. We don't serve an impotent God. We don't serve an impotent Savior. We don't serve a God that is dependent on our will and our ability to fulfill the promises of Scripture. We serve a sovereign God who by grace brings us to Himself and saves us in Christ. Nothing stands in our way. Just as Bartimaeus cried the louder, by the grace of God, we cry the louder when we're called. Because He is the Savior. He is the one who is going to restore my blindness. That I might see the kingdom of heaven. One way to God. Through Jesus Christ. So, we read. At least my translation says so. I know others say something a little bit differently. In verse 49, Jesus stands still and commands him to be called. Then they call the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer, arise, he calls you. Right? Persistence. Right? Remember the unjust judge? There was that parable, I think it's in Luke 18. Where, you know, look what the unjust judge says. That shall not God hear the cries of his own elect who cry to him day and night? There was a blessing giving to persistence. So here we see the faith demonstrated by Bartimaeus, the blind man. Nothing is going to stand in the way of Christ. So, Christ stands still. And he commands the blind man to be called. These are the words that he must have longed to hear. Rise, he calls you. Now all of a sudden the multitudes have changed their tune a little bit. All right, okay, he heard you now. Now you can come forward. All right, and he comes forward. And be of good cheer. Right, the gospel, right, is what literally translated means? Anybody? Good news. It's the good news of Jesus Christ. When we're called by Christ, it's the good news. Be of good cheer. Rise, he calls you. The Son of David who will open the eyes of the blind, Bartimaeus, is calling you. Come forward. And of course, our application, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And he comes, what? In his blindness. You know, sometimes when I talk to friends about going to church, well, they always, maybe you have too, but you sometimes get that answer, well, I got to just clean up my life a little first, and then I'm going to come to church. You know, have anybody ever heard that before? I don't know, but you know, I got to stop doing a few things, and you know, then I'll come to church. But Bartimaeus doesn't clean anything up. He doesn't take a shower, right? He comes as a blind man. He comes as a blind beggar, just as he is. And that's how Christ calls us, as we are, where we are, in our sin. Christ came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repent. And that term rise, he calls you. I mean, that word rise is so loaded with meaning. You know, Romans 6:4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. Rise. That term identifies with resurrection. The dead come to life. Rise. Christ is the first fruits from the dead who rose on the third day. Amen. Right? Ephesians 2:1, and you has He made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. We have been made alive from death, spiritual death, spiritual blindness, spiritual deadness. Rise! This is the resurrection to life, brothers and sisters, that we have in our Savior. We are alive in Christ. We were identified with His death through the cross when He was up there. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? We were there with Him. Our sin was there. And when we rise with Him, identified with His resurrection. Awake from the dead. Rise. He calleth thee. Be awake. Amen. Now, curiously, He throws aside a garment. You can only imagine what this thing looked like. I mean, sitting by the side of the road, I mean, again, speculating, a blind beggar. We don't know what his hygiene was like, but my guess is it wasn't very good. And He throws aside His garment, and I guess we can say, you know, as a blind man, He's being called. You know, we don't know, maybe, you know, it was a bulky garment. But I think it's safe to say that it may have been something that could have impeded His progress to Christ. He didn't want to trip over it. Didn't want to get in the way. Maybe he'll fall down and, you know, he's afraid Christ said, okay, well, you had your chance. Okay. But anything that might have hindered His progress to Christ, He just threw off. Got rid of this coat. And you know, when we're called by Christ, you know, we have clothes on too. And I mean, if you have your Bibles and you just want to turn with me to Isaiah 64... It's a very familiar passage that we all, I'm sure, have heard at one time or another. But in Isaiah 64, verse 6, we read there that we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses as filthy rags. We all fade as the leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. The clothing we have before we are saved, our filthy rags. Now we might say, well, you know, I'm a pretty moral guy or gal. I live a decent life. When I look at my neighbor, you know, I'm actually doing better than my neighbor, which is pride, but we'll say it. Okay? There's nothing about me that really is bad. I do good things. But if our standard is our neighbor, this will never make sense. Okay? If our standard is the righteousness of God, the holy God, who is without sin, without blemish, without spot, without wrinkle, if that's our standard, then we start to have a problem. Because we can never stand in His presence. I mean, every passage we read in Scripture where God has made some type of an appearance, people fall on their faces. Remember Sinai, when the Jews were before the Sinai and the thundering and the quaking? They all hid from the mountain. They hid themselves from the majesty of God. And we know that when Christ comes again, people will be calling out for the grave or the rocks and the caves to crush them, to hide them from the wrath of Him to come. Because their sin, their impurity, is going to be so manifest to them, they're going to understand, I can't stand in His presence. I can't do it. Hide me from the judgment of the Lamb, who is pure and holy. We are covered in filthy rags. With our self-pride, our self-sufficiency. And until we get to that point that we realize we are sinful and dirty before God, until we get to that point, we'll never really cry out for God as we ought, apart from His grace. But you see, a beautiful thing happens when we become saved. Because like Bartimaeus, those filthy rags get taken away. They get cast off. And the reason, you know, Isaiah is an easy place to be, because if you just flip back your page, if you're there, and you look at Isaiah 61:10, we read, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels." You see, our righteousness gets thrown off like Bartimaeus. But it doesn't stop there. We're given the righteousness of another. We're clothed with the righteousness of the Holy and Just One who went to the cross and died for our sin and rose again and is seated at the right hand of God. His righteousness becomes our righteousness. When we become Christ, God doesn't see your filthy rags. Rather, he sees the robes of Christ. You know, and in our, I guess, life, in our world, I guess there's no better example of when you're going to look your best than on your wedding day. The bride is decked out with the beautiful dress and the ornaments and the jewels, and the groom has on his tuxedo or whatever else he might have on, is looking his best. And we, brothers and sisters, will never look better a day in our life and in eternity than without the clothing of Jesus Christ. And that's what we receive. When we're called to salvation, those filthy rags come off. All our self-sufficiencies, everything that we hoped in and trusted aside from Christ, is thrown away. And then we're clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And of course, you know, the question I need to ask is, what are we trusting in for our righteousness this morning? Right? Our works, our good deeds, our self-sufficiencies? Or are we simply looking at the righteousness of Him to stand before God? So he throws aside the garment. He comes to Jesus Christ. And Christ says to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" Now think about that for a minute. The Creator of the world, right? We read in Colossians, Christ is the Creator. He was there. He is the Creator. He made the earth. Before this world was, He was, and is, and ever shall be. "What do you want me to do for you? Blind beggar." How's that possible? How does eternal God reach out to us in that way? How's that possible? What do you want me to do for you? We get an insight into the condescending love, mercy, and grace of God through Jesus Christ. And Bartimaeus does not ask for anything else but his sight back. He doesn't ask for wealth, riches, honor, good health. He asks, "Oh, that I might receive my sight, that I might see, that I might have a life back." And what does Christ say? He recognizes the faith of this blind beggar. And he says to him, "Your faith has made you whole." The miracle is immediate. And Bartimaeus does not just disappear and say, "Thanks a lot, Jesus." But what does he do? He follows him on the way. Spiritually, again, obvious application. As spiritually dead sinners, the invitation is there. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe on him would not perish but have everlasting life." What do you want me to do for you? "What is man that thou art mindful of him?" Right before we read this passage, but in Mark 10 and verse 45, we read that, you know, Christ, he says there that he came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. He came to die. He came to serve. He came to give us life, and he came to give us salvation. And when we come to God for our salvation, He needs to be the only object, and we come by faith. And when we come into the presence of Almighty God by His grace when we're called, we ask that we might receive our sight, because that's the greatest gift that we could ever have. The eternal gift. The one that lasts forever. We don't go there to have health, because guess what? All the healings that Jesus performed, physical healings, all those people eventually died. Physical health will only get you so far. But we ask, Lord, that I might see. That I might see Thy kingdom. That I might see Your majesty. That I might see Your riches. That I might see Your kingdom. That I might be forgiven and healed by Thy mercy. And we're saved by grace through faith. Was there anything this blind beggar did to deserve his miracle or his salvation? Did he earn it in any way? He didn't do anything. He didn't do anything except have faith. Except calling Him the Son of David and recognizing Him as Messiah. We're saved by faith through grace, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. We are saved by faith, brothers and sisters. Not what we do. Not by works, lest anyone should boast. We recognize the Son of David as eternal God. Now, the interesting thing is that we find, when we started this, right, we talked about Bartimaeus being on the wayside, on the side of the road. Now what? He's healed, and he's following Jesus on the way. Are we following Him on the way this morning? Right? Are we growing in grace? Are we serving Him? What are we doing today to follow Christ? I mean, we're here today. Does it end when we walk out the door? Well, now I got to serve man and the world. Or is our walk with Christ, wherever we go, that we're serving and following our Savior on the way because He has given us our sight? So let's take a look back here as I close. How did we find Bartimaeus? Blind? A beggar? Entirely dependent for his living on the mercy of others. We find him on the wayside with a dirty cloth for a coat. When we get to verse 52, how do we find him? He can see. He got rid of his dirty coat. He's following Jesus on the way. This is a complete transformation of this man. Complete transformation. So I have to ask, can we relate to Bartimaeus this morning? Can you? When you look at his life, can you see yourself there? Now, maybe not in every point, but can you see yourself there? In that man's life. There was a point in my life when I know I was a blind beggar. And there's a point in my life today where I'm following Christ, not perfectly, but boy, I'm not what I was by the grace of God. But if we can't relate to Him at all, and it's just like a nice story, well, I'll go back to what I said when I opened. Luke 19:10. Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. It's no accident that you sit here now this afternoon to hear the Word of God. Because rise, He calleth thee. The gospel is being preached. What will you do with it? Are you going to cry out the more? Or are you just going to let it pass by down the road? If you're not sure, you cry out to that Savior for mercy, as Bartimaeus cried out for his sight. And like I told you, I opened, this is one of my favorite passages because it really puts in perspective. The sinner I am apart from Christ, those times that God feels far away from me, I cry out, Son of David, have mercy on me. It really helps put things in perspective. And if we can look at this and say, yeah, I see myself here. Wow. Man, praise God. Look what He's done for you in Christ. How marvelous is that salvation? How marvelous is His grace? How marvelous that the Creator of the world reached down to you, a blind beggar, and restored you unto Himself so that you could see the kingdom of God and experience His riches and grace. Now, many are the afflictions of the righteous, the Scripture says. But we know when this day is over, we will be with Him in eternity. And that's the hope of every believer. Brothers and sisters, I pray we could all identify with the latter. And if not, cry out as Bartimaeus did. May God give us the grace to love Him and follow Him on the way. Amen.